Wholesaling Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com. It's time for Talking with TD.
Touchdown, Tennessee!
The latest on the Two-Tone Blue with ESPN's Teron Davenport.
Put up a shut-up term.
This is Nashville's best sports talk.
ESPN.
102.5 The Game.
Here we go. Yes, yes. Here we are back in the house once again. I'm your host, Teron Davenport, and you are now talking with TD. We got Elijah Campbell hitting the switches, as always, making this thing click. And we have a loaded show for you today, as we do each and every week. NFL Nation ESPN reporter this week. The Titans are facing the Rams. So we got the superstar, the shining star, Lindsay Theory, coming on to talk some shop. Run TMC, we get forever Titans receiver, Chris Sanders. And that's what we do each and every week. I think before we get into that, though, I want to, you know, shout out Derrick Henry first and foremost. I mean, this guy on his second carry of the game, fractured foot. He played the whole game with a fractured foot. Not only that, his last carry, getting that first down on fourth. I mean, like, that was a major effort. You know what I mean? He planted on that foot and dove forward, and he got that first down for him. That was a critical first down. You could tell throughout the game that he wasn't himself. I didn't think it was going to be an injury this serious, because we're just so used to, oh, man, that's Derrick Henry. He's indestructible. You know what I mean? But football is a 100% injury sport, you know, and this is what happened to him. His surgery went well. Definitely happy about that for him, just as a person. As a player that I have the pleasure of covering, happy for that perspective. Sad, though, because we would have gotten to see history. I mean, this man was – nothing was going to stop him except for an injury, right? 937 yards in 8 games. Now, Adrian Peterson, his part of the replacement for him, he had in I forget which year it was. I was kind of doing some background on Peterson the other day, and he had more yards through 8 games. I forget what the total was, you know, but that's something to definitely take note of. But anyway, he was by far the best running back in the league. I said it before the season, right, and it just was proven this year, especially with him being able to catch the ball out of the backfield. But we are being cheated of history. No back has gotten 2,000 yards in consecutive seasons, you know, or even just twice, period. It's a shame, you know. And the thing that's just so crazy about it is every week, you know, you see Adrian Peterson's name, you see Jim Brown's name, you see Walter Payton, you see Emmitt Smith, you see Barry Sanders, you see LaDainian Tomlinson, you see Sean Alexander. Like, these are all names that ESPN Sports and Information Group, like, I'll get a message, hey, Derrick Henry with that run just did this, this, and this. Only Jim Brown and Barry Sanders did it. He's just like, wow. And you kind of take it for granted, but here we are. You're not going to be able to take it for granted anymore because, you know, no slight to Adrian Peterson, Deontay Foreman, and Jeremy McNichols, the three guys who, you know, will collectively be charged with maintaining that rushing attack, but it's gone now. Yeah, you know, we're not going to get to see that, and it's really saddening just knowing. I just enjoyed watching Derrick Henry from week to week, and then it got to the point where I actually enjoyed the press conferences. Now, it used to be when we had locker room, like, I would just kind of hang around in the what do you call those things? The media clock, whatever. I forget what it's called. But anyway, I would hang around in that, you know what I mean, and then wait until afterwards and talk to him. And he was always so cool one-on-one, always so much cooler one. But now, like, you're starting to see him really open up in pressers, and that's all taken away from us. It's selfish, I know, but, I mean, the bottom line, I hope that man gets happy. The thing that I love about it is I know from talking to him how much he loves his little girl. That right there, I could tell you from experience, having that little face look at you and say, I love you, or just say daddy, period, that puts all of the whatever bad is going on. That puts it all aside. So that will be his you know, saving grace. And he'll be back at some point. Now, when that happens, I'm not sure. Dan Orlovsky, he had the same injury, and he said that, you know, it took him 6 weeks. You know, he was on crutches for 6 weeks. Derrick Henry is just, I mean, he's, you know, we're borrowing from Mars. So you never know how he's going to recover. If he can recover in time and you get him, you know, back for a deep playoff run, I mean, that would be awesome to cover that. I mean, that would be a special story. But we're just going to have to see what's going to happen in the meantime. At the same time, really big win for the Titans, right? They're now three games up on the Colts. They swept the Colts. They have a 97% chance of winning the AFC South. They have the best record in the AFC. Now, the Raiders are one of the teams that are contending. Obviously, a whole lot going on, you know, in Las Vegas. You feel bad for everybody involved in the Henry Ruggs accident. Obviously, first and foremost, the 23-year-old young lady who is no longer with us. And that one really hit me because my oldest daughter is 23. And I don't even want to think about what her parents endured getting that phone call. But that right there is just, ugh. And then Ruggs, I mean, like, you have to live with this now, right? And I mean, you took so much away. And then the young lady that was in the car with him, you were involved in an accident that killed somebody. So it's just, yeah, that's a bad picture all around. But, you know, swinging it back to football, I don't know how this Raiders team is going to be. You know, and now you're taking away one of their biggest weapons, you know, as far as stretching the field. We don't know how they're going to be. So this is a good opportunity for the Titans. The Bills are still the Bills. The Browns, goodness gracious, like, that's a mess. The Chiefs, you know, they got Melvin Ingram, but I say all that to say this Titans team still has a chance. Now, is it likely that they'll be, you know, a top seed without Derrick Henry? I doubt that. I don't really think. Like, I'm going to be realistic with you. I don't think it's going to happen, but when you look at the schedule, it does offer them some grace from that perspective, because it's not that tough. But let's get to this Colts game, you know, and I think there's some good points from there, because what we saw in that game was A.J. Brown and Ryan Tannehill continue to have excellence. Elijah, Tannehill targeted Brown 11 times. A.J. didn't get the ball until 4 minutes left in the daggone second quarter. But what happened on his first target? House call, 57 yards. And I think you just got to see just that what A.J. Brown is capable of. And I think, you know, this is a guy that they're going to really they're going to need him much, much, much more. But 11 targets, 10 receptions, 155 yards, and a touchdown. He pretty much did what he wanted to do, man. And it's funny because after the game, I put a tweet out there. I said this, and you'll appreciate this as a basketball guy. I said this performance by A.J. Brown actually reminded me of Gilbert Arenas back in the day when you wouldn't even know it, but he dropped 35 on you.
All from like two quarters.
It's crazy because like that guy was like the most quiet 30-point score, and A.J. Brown, that buck 55 was just so quiet because every time you look up, he had another 15 or 13-yard catch. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, they're going to need that to continue on. And the thing that I love about what he did is the fearlessness he showed, right, and the willingness to go across the middle, you know, and that's something – that, you know, not a lot of players are able to do, and not a lot of players accelerate through the football and have that confidence that he has. So, you know, shout out A.J. Brown for an outstanding game. Shout out Ryan Tannehill. And matter of fact, you know what? That's why I asked him. I said, you know, A.J., what's behind this emergence? You know, because he's caught 25 out of 29 targets for 379 yards and two touchdowns. So he's pretty much caught fire the last three games. Here's what he said about his performance on Sunday.
Every week fight. Local ball. He scored. For you personally, like, what is it about you, like, that trait to be able to come up big in big time games like this?
For me, guys, it's really not me. It's Tannehill. Like, some of the throws today was, he couldn't put it in a better place. You know, I was more hyped about the throws than what I did, with the catch. But he's been spot on, and he's always been accurate, but he's been balling.
It just, Tio, what did he say? It's my quarterback. Hey, that's what AJ is saying, man. That's his quarterback, and you're seeing. And there's a reason why he continually gets fed the football, and that's because there's trust there, and he's open. So definitely, you know, think that's a big-time thing. Another guy who had a factor in the game was Jeremy McNichols, right? And you look at to be able to set up, the fourth down, you know, to get him closer and set up that Derrick Henry run, I believe it was. He had to catch a pass and make a key play. And this is a guy, like, he's just steadily floating, unnoticed, but he's come up with big play after big play in the passing game. At Boise State, I mean, he was a bell cow back at Boise State. Now, obviously, when you look at his size and you know, his stature, you may not think that he could be a bell cow back in the league, but rest assured, he'll get his opportunities. And we got to talk to McNichols on Wednesday, and he, you know, opened up a bit about being willing to do whatever it takes, about if he needs to be a bell cow guy, he'll continue to do that. And he also said, you know, how he's ready for the opportunity, how he's been ready. Here's Jeremy McNichols.
Whatever it's going to take to win, I mean, whatever that is going to be, running the ball, catching the ball, blocking, whatever it's going to be, I'm going to be here, step up, and just handle the business.
Coach Dude said that, you know, you're always tapping the shoulder, saying that, you know, you're ready. How excited are you for, you know, what could be a big opportunity for you?
I mean, yeah, I'm ready for it. I prepare every week. Like, I'm going to have to step in or do whatever it takes to help win, you know, not just on third, but I'm studying all downs, all the distances, whatever we need or whatever the team may need in certain situations.
Looking back at your career, you know, at Boise, you had a lot of carries, you know, your last 2 years. Do you think it's kind of going under the radar how capable you are of carrying the workload if necessary?
I don't think it's going under the radar. I just think I found a role here, and, you know, Coach Dews and the coaching staff is comfortable with that. And I'm comfortable with that, but I mean, whatever it's going to take, whatever we need to continue this year and continue to win games.
So, in the background, you heard Roger Saffold talking. They kind of have the guys layered a bit. Saffold, actually, he's going back to L.A. for the first time, you know, to face his former team. He was pretty excited about that. But one of the things that he said was that, you know, this is the most important game only because it's the next game. So he's trying to temper that those emotions, but rest assured, he's hyped up about it. I mean, it's make no mistake about that. But I want to also, you know, turn it back to the defense, because one of the things that's happening here is turnovers are starting to become abundant. They have, I believe it's 9 turnovers in the last 6 games. And the guy at the center of all that is Kevin Byard. You saw how egregious pass interference, right? But you know, at the same time, he was trying to save a touchdown, you know, and he went over what happened. You know, they had been running the crossing routes, but that receiver at that time, instead of like they tagged a route. So what do you mean by when you say they tagged a route, TD? Well, here's what I mean. You had the 2 crossing routes, right? But number 16 was tagged with the responsibility of turning it upfield, right? And they had been running those crossers over and over, and that's what Byard said. You know, but then the 16, he turned the route upfield, you know, expecting the safety to come down and bite on one of those, which is what Byard did, and then that's how he beat him. So those type of things happen. It was a bad interference call. It was a case of Byard, you know, caught reading, you know, and that's what you have to do against great players. You use their strengths against them. You know that he's a guy who reads routes. So what do? You tag a route with a variation, and you hope that he reads it, and boom, what happened on Sunday happened. So the good thing is he came back and redeemed himself. That interception, Carson Wentz, this is the hero part that I've joked about, you know, and this is the risking the football that I've joked about, and that was a perfect example. He should not have thrown that route. If you look at the play again, you have Jonathan Taylor underneath. You could just dump it to him, an easy throw, big gain there. So sometimes you have to, instead of playing hero and try to be the hero, just be the Robin, right, and let somebody else be the hero, but you facilitate them being the hero. That makes you a good player too. That's why LeBron James is so great, because he doesn't always have to be the hero. And I'm not a LeBron fan, by the way, but he doesn't have to be the hero. He will let Anthony Davis be that guy. More recently, Carmelo will be that guy too. We'll get out of basketball and back into football. Elijah Molden had the interception. Outstanding, you know, on that play. No one's talking about it, but that play, in my opinion, gave you a good reading on Bud Dupree. Now, why do I say that? Well, I got feedback from Sean Merriman, about how tough it is to come back from an injury like Dupree had. Merriman had that same one along with an Achilles, and he said the biggest thing for him was being able to have that knee chopped, you know what I mean? Like as far as the block style and or rolled up on and still being able to keep going. Bud Dupree had that happen to him. He went down on the ground, popped up, and that pursuit, that relentless pursuit that he had is what helped force Carson Wentz to make that boneheaded throw. But I think that is a good example of where Dupree is as far as this recovery process and not only recovery, but reestablishing himself as a player that a big time player, and that was a big time play. So I wanted to look at that as well. And I mean, just overall, this defense is playing well. The pass rush, you know, that is an example of that. Harold Landry is playing out of his mind. 8.5 sacks, more than anyone else in the Titans history has had through 8 games. Obviously, you know, he's gone from, you know, the middle reliever to a closer. Right? Like he used to be the guy to get all the pressures, but now he's a closer. You know what I mean? And he's the one in the ninth inning. It's time to shut it down. You go to him and he's going to do that. So shout out Harold Landry, Danico Autry, Jeffrey Simmons. These guys are all Tier Tart. You know, these guys are all playing really well. That pass rush, that front is definitely elevating itself. And then obviously, you know, the continued excellent play of David Long. Monty Rice had a solid game with Rashawn Evans not being available. I think overall, you know, this defense is coming back together. Don't look now, but Jackrabbit Jenkins is actually playing some solid defense as well. So, obviously, you know, there were issues initially. We know that. But he's overcome them, and now, you know, you're seeing him solidify himself, you know, as a veteran presence, a steady force in the secondary. They're going to be tested this week, though. They are going to be tested because this Rams offense is no joke. They don't run the football that well, but they still play action you to death. And Matthew Stafford, Cooper Kupp, Van Jefferson, Robert Woods, woo, Tyler Higbee, man, it keeps coming. Daryl Henderson, Memphis product. But we're going to get into that a little bit later with Lindsay Theory, ESPN NFL Nation, Rams, I almost said Rams receiver. Rams reporter, and we're going to have a receiver on next, and that's Chris Sanders. But before we do that, we're going to go ahead to a break. I want you to hear this message from my folks at Freedom Tire Guys.
Yo, it's Teron Davenport here to tell you about my friends at Freedom Tire Guys. They're Nashville's premier mobile tire company, and they do it all. New tires, balance, rotation, everything. Bill, a recent customer of theirs, loved the way they came to him and saved him time and money. So if you're like Bill, you like convenience, and you need some new tires, check out FreedomTireGuys.com. If you don't see the tires you like, give them a call, and they'll find them for you. Check them out today at FreedomTireGuys.com.
This is Derrick Henry. You're now talking with TD.
How about it? What are we? Yeah. Let me get those guitars. Here they go. Yeah. Back from the break. Talking with TD. You know what time it is. You hear that music. You hear Derrick Henry say, This is Derrick Henry, and you're talking with TD. That absolutely means it's time for that music to be faded away. The lights dim. And now, at power forward for your New York Knicks, Anthony Mason.
And now, Eddie Murphy's brother, Charlie Murphy.
What the five fingers say to the face?
What's good, big man? What is going on, man?
What's going on, man?
What's the dealio with Henry, man? I know he's out indefinitely. So what the time's going to do, man?
Yeah, you know, that's just first and foremost. You hate to see that for anybody.
Absolutely.
But especially Derrick Henry. I, you know, outside of the guys that he stiff-armed to oblivion, I don't think there's a single person that doesn't like this dude on the planet. You know what I mean?
But he's a great leader because here's the deal. He's great, and he leads on the field, but he leads off the field, and everybody loves this guy. If he was a jerk and, you know, just kind of disrespect his teammates, everybody would be like, man, go on, get out of here. But you just can tell how well he's respected. When you have Barry Sanders, I'm talking about Barry Sanders now, send you a tweet and say, you know, I'm praying for you, little buddy. That's huge.
Yeah. I mean, that just tells, that's the degree of respect that he has across the
league. When I got hurt, nobody didn't text me. Gary Coleman didn't text me. Nobody didn't.
Man, it's just, what can you say? Derek is just, he's a different person, man.
Yeah.
A different being. But that being said, they have to find a way to, you're not going to replace that. I mean, let's just be frank. But they have to find a way to make up for the loss of that. So let me ask you this.
Sure.
Do you think this offense changes without Derrick Henry? I don't, but what are your thoughts?
I just think that it's not going to change. They're going to use the same schemes, but I think you're going to start to see A.J. Brown get the ball more. Mm-hmm. And the reason why I said it might not be in the pass, but like in a speed sweep or something like that, it, you know, reverses and things like that, and that's still a running play. But I want people to understand also, you know, everybody wanted to get Jonnu Smith out of here and saying, oh, you know, let him go ahead and go. Just imagine if we'd have had Jonnu Smith. You remember a couple of years ago, about 3 years ago, Derrick Henry got hurt. Who was in the backfield?
57-yard run he had.
Just imagine if he was here. So I think that, you know, even though Derrick Henry, you can't replace him just exactly what you said, but you just got to get your playmakers the ball. I know Adrian Peterson is going to touch the rock, but find your ways to get A.J. Brown the football, speed sweeps, reverses, things like that, because it still counts as a run.
And I think that's where the creative parts of the game are going to happen. And you know what? You have to look at making plays off of that too, right? So what do I mean by that? Okay, well, you show them the jet sweep. Show that to them a couple times. And then you could go – I mean, there's so much you could do with that. You could literally run play action off of that. Absolutely. You could run, you know, an RPO look off of that. You know what I mean? Where you have – you could have the dive as an option, right? And you have the jet sweep just to give the linebacker some eye candy. And now the linebacker's like, okay – do I have to, you know, bounce outside with the jet sweep, or do I have to stay home for the dive, or do I have to worry about Julio Jones running a slant towards me? So that's one of the ways that you could put these defenders in conflict. And I always love to look at those type of things because, you know, it just gives you an advantage.
Yeah, but, you know, and I agree with you 110%, but here's the deal too, though. We have to figure out a way to still establish the run.
Right.
You know, because if we don't establish the run, everybody's going to play us like they're playing the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yeah.
They know that you don't have a running game. They're going to keep all the players back in zone and just dare you to make a mistake.
Yep.
So that's why this is very, very important that Peterson comes in and runs physical and gets those plays and stays in front of the chains, because if you don't and the running game is inept, then, man, they're just going to sit back, double A.J. Brown, double Julio, and play man-to-man against Westbrook. So if we establish one, then some of those that strong safety's got to come up. Now you get one-on-one on the outside. They may play cover three or cover one. Mm-hmm. Then that's when those receivers can get open.
Yeah, and I think that's really the key, is because we know going against these different teams, they're going to
not flood the box as much as they did before against the Titans, right? So I think initially what you want to do is make teams pay for that, right? Show them that, hey, look, even though Derrick Henry is not in the backfield and you know he won't get, you know, that 70-yard run is pretty much out of the picture, we'll still gas you with 10 to 15 yards. Like, that's the mindset I would have if I was, you know, calling these plays, and that, okay, look, we're still going to run, you know, outside zone, inside zone. We're going to sprinkle in power like we do. We're going to, you know, run duo and those different things.
Right.
It's just not going to be as explosive, but rest assured, it's still going to go through your lips, as you would say. So I think that's really the mindset. Yeah. And then once you get into that mind, you know, that approach and that understanding, then you can work that play action off of it. It's funny because, you know, we got to talk to David Long on Wednesday, and he said, absolutely, it matters, you know, what back is in the backfield. Like, that does impact play action. But make no mistake about it, as a linebacker, you know, like, it's still your job to play the run first, so you're naturally going to take that run step first. So even without an effective rushing attack, you could still have that threat of the run, which is going to influence play action.
Yeah, I think Todd Downing has to do a great job with personnel. When I say a great job is, you know, go 11 personnel, one back, one tight end, and three wide receivers, you know. And you may not get the protection that you need, but you still got some playmakers on the perimeter. And when I say, you know, that that's profound, is because, you know, they may play off and give a little bit of cushion. You throw it to A.J. Brown, he got 10 yards. You can do that. And Julio Jones, you know, Westbrook, or whoever's playing that third wide receiver in the slot. So, you know, even though we don't have, you know, the big dog in the backfield, you still can be creative, you know, and do a lot of things. But the only thing that I'm kind of concerned about is when you're down 14 to nothing, 17 to nothing, who's going to be that guy to take over the game?
Absolutely.
Because Henry would take over the game. So who would be that guy?
Yeah, and I think that's the key. But we got a good taste of that this past game, right, where you saw the Titans down 14 to nothing.
Yeah.
It wasn't Henry.
Yeah.
It was A.J. Brown.
Yeah, it
you
really
know?
Was.
And he had that 57-yarder to tie it up. By the way, I don't know if you saw this stat that I posted, but since 2019, when A.J. Brown and Tannehill first got together, they have 6 connections of 50 yards or more.
Oh.
The list of people who have combos that have more? Yeah, I was silent for a purpose because nobody has more than what A.J. Brown and Ryan Tannehill have since 2019, 6 connections of 50 yards or more. So I agree with you. That is something that, you know, has to be established. Okay, who is going to be that guy that's consistently going to step up like Derrick Henry did against the Bills, a 76-yard house call, turn the whole thing around? Who's going to be the person to do that? Going against the Rams, like, it's going to be tough. And it's funny because they're going against the Rams this week, and the Rams are – the ultimate example of a team that doesn't run the football very well,
right?
But still effectively works play action.
Yeah. I mean, because you made a great point, because when you do that, you know, you stay in front of the chains, so now your play calling changes.
Mm-hmm.
So just say if it's instead of it being 2nd and 10, it's 2nd and 3, you got so many plays you can run, because the defense is thinking, okay, they're running the ball 2nd and 3. Now you do play action and you gash them. So it's going to be so important that the Tennessee Titans establish running. I think, too, with Todd Downing, you know, even if it starts off slow, they can't get into panic mode. Okay, we're just going to throw the ball 45 times. That's going to get you beat. So just stay with the game plan, stay with the scheme, and just get your playmakers the ball. Now watch this. Mark my word. I may be wrong, but I'm just taking a wild guess. But don't be surprised if we see number 11 in the backfield a couple of times.
Oh, no, I agree. I think you're going to see that. And that's something that he likes to do. And, I mean, look, you know, this is an opportunity. You put him in the backfield a few times, you could still go. It would be essentially not having a running back, but it's 11 personnel in essence, because you could have your 3 receivers on the field. And Brown, I mean, at 6 feet, 225, 230, he could be a running back for you if that's what you want to do. And that wouldn't be something that would be out of the ordinary. Even going with that look and motioning to empty, there's a lot you could do. So that's a good point. That's a part of it. You use that word creative. That's exactly what Mike Vrabel used when he spoke on Monday about generating offense.
Yeah, and I just think that, you know, with Todd Downing, he's just got to understand the strength of what they have now. Okay, the running game is probably not going to be as good as it used to be, But now you got to start to recreate your own identity once again. Your identity was, you know, we're going to run here, we're going to pound you, we're going to play action. You're going to have to do things a little bit different, but don't get way off. Stay with the running game, stay with the play action, get your playmakers the ball, and throw a little wrinkle in there once in a while.
Right, and that's the key. And that's something that, you know, I asked Coach Vrabel about, just maintaining the mindset, the mentality, the style of football that you want to play on offense. And he said that's important because they have a certain physical mentality that they want to play with on in all facets of the game. And obviously, offensively, that means you're going to run the football. So
right.
That's something that's going to happen. But, you know, a lot of times you refer to the three-headed monster. Well, they kind of have that. It may not be a monster, but it's a three-headed approach. And with Adrian Peterson, Deontay Foreman, and Jeremy McNichols. Let me ask you about Jeremy McNichols, because I asked him about, you know, being able to shoulder the load if need be. And I mentioned what he did at Boise State. I mean, he was a bell cow at Boise State the last 2 years. Carried, I think it was like 250-plus times, but he had 1,800 yards. Do you think that, you know, he is someone that could do that if need be?
I mean, I think he can. I mean, this is a great opportunity for him to showcase what he really can do, because he would come on third down and come in sparingly. But now if he comes in and starts, you know, I know he's not going to do what Henry's done, but if he comes in and is effective, you know, staying in front of the chains, that's going to benefit the Tennessee Titans, and he can handle that load. He may not get 28 to 30 runs in the game, but if he gets those 16, 17, 18, 19, and then all of a sudden he stays in front of the chain, it's going to make this offense still potent. Because, even though Henry's gone, we still have some dogs on offense now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we still have A.J. Brown, we have Julio Jones. If he's healthy, we got Westbrook. But the only thing that I'm a little bit concerned of is, can our offensive line block and hold up and keep McNichols from getting hit?
Yeah, and that's going to be the thing, the offensive line doing what they need to do. And, with those guys, you know, Keith Carter said that regardless of who's back there, you know, they have a job to do. They're going to work to do that. Roger Saffold said that they're obviously going to miss Derrick Henry, you know, as a leader on the field. And I want to get into that in a second. And on the field himself, you know, just his play. But they feel like they can make up for that. They have to move forward, and they can make up for that by, you know, their preparation and their mindset, the mentality that they build up through the week. So I get it. Derrick Henry is a huge loss. This is the one thing that couldn't happen to this team. Like, this is the one thing that couldn't happen.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to take away from that. But it's not the end of the world. Obviously, their playoff aspirations as far as a deep run is deeply affected. I don't think that they could, you know, be as successful without Derrick Henry. But at the same time, I've seen a team – lose their starting quarterback in 2017 and go on to win the Super Bowl. So
right.
I'm not counting anything out. I've seen Terrell Owens have an ankle injury that he had no business coming back from, but you know what? He played with a daggone door hinge in his foot, and he signed a waiver. And this is the thing, you know, people talk bad about T.O., right? And they say he's not a team guy, et cetera, et cetera. This dude signed, the Eagles had him sign a waiver saying that if he got hurt, they're not liable.
Wow.
So kill all that he's not a team guy stuff. Look, T.O. is one of my favorite players of all time,
so
I'm going to kind of get a little more ramped up talking about that. But bringing it back home, who knows? Maybe Derrick Henry could come back, you know, if they make a playoff run. Who knows? I mean, this still remains to be seen. I've seen other things happen that are crazier. So that being said, just from a leadership perspective, what do you think the Titans are losing, and how do they make up for that?
Man, they're just losing a pillar on your offense, a guy that just, you know, takes over a game. I mean, listen, I've been playing football since I was in the third grade till I retired in 2001. I have never, ever seen a player take over a football game like Derrick Henry. I mean, TD, it's amazing. I mean, it's amazing what he does. I mean, you know, and there's games where there's nothing there, and all of a sudden he gets in the crease, and he's taking it 76 yards.
Yep.
He takes the game over completely. But here's what's going to happen. He's going to be on the sidelines, and he's going to encourage, you know, his players, and those players are going to see that he still cares about them. Those guys are going to be motivated to say, you know what, if this guy can come out here with a hurt foot and cheer us on and be a leader still, then I'm going to play my heart off for these guys, because you better believe it. I'm going to tell you something. Everybody's talking about that the Rams are going to beat the brakes off the Titans, whatever, whatever. This team is going to fight now. This is a resilient team. Mm-hmm. This is a team that fights. They have an identity. They're mentally tough. I watched this the last game when they were down 14 to nothing, and how mentally tough they were on offense, defense, and special teams. I'm going to tell you something. Don't count these jokers out just because the number one guy is out. Just like they said, even though he's down, the next man steps up. Even though it's a different person, the results are still going to be the same.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to take an awful lot, like a monumental effort from everybody else. We'll definitely say that. I'm not going to say never. You know, so we'll see what happens. I mean, the other thing that you have to look at is the way the schedule is panned out. Yeah. I mean, frankly, this game against the Rams, next week against the Saints, who won't have their starting quarterback. Taysom Hill may be back, which, okay, if he comes back, guess what? All of Nashville needs to be in the box going against that team. Yeah. But that's a different story. But after those teams, I mean, you really look at it, okay, a mediocre Patriots team. The Dolphins are terrible. You got two matchups against the lifeless Houston Texans, who fire sale everybody up out of there. You got the Jaguars again, right? You got the Steelers, who are, yeah, that could be a test in Pittsburgh. That could be a test. But, I mean, you look at the schedule, it's not exactly a menacing row of teams that they have to play. So they can, throughout this easier, I think they're like top five as far as the easiest schedule. So they can still just kind of get stuff together, you know what I mean, and just figure out a way that they could be successful here down the stretch and still win a division. And, I mean, who knows? They could even, have the bye. You never know how this thing pans out.
Yeah, I mean, they just got to take – I know this sounds cliche. Just take one game at a time. That's all they got to do.
Yeah, this game right here is the biggest game of the year, because it's the next game of the year. That's what Roger Saffold said, and that's a perfect approach. That was his answer after I asked him if he's looking forward to facing his former team. But, hey, do you have a prediction, man? What do you have going on? Like you said that, the results will still be the same. Will they?
Yeah, even though every week I pick against the Titans, I'll be wrong. So I'm going with the Titans. I say 28-24.
That's healthy. That's a healthy prediction. We'll see what happens. What happens. But, hey, man, I appreciate you. We'll keep this rolling. Talk to you Sunday.
Appreciate you, man. Let's do this, man.
Holla.
This is AJ Brown, and you're talking with TD.
All right, back from the break, talking with TD. You know how we do each and every week. We get into that black book, that Rolodex, and we go ahead and get one of my teammates in here. This week, I'm really happy to bring in someone I haven't been able to have on the show before, and that's Lindsay Theory, ESPN, NFL Nation, Rams reporter. Lindsay, how's it going?
Good. How are you guys doing?
We are doing awesome, and I know you're busy, and I just, like I said, I appreciate you coming on. I guess we'll jump right into it, and I want to get your opinion just on how Matthew Stafford has really turned that offense to the next level. Obviously, that was an upgrade at quarterback.
Yeah, he's been terrific. They brought him in. Obviously, because of his veteran experience, he has a terrific arm. He can make every throw from anywhere on the field at every angle. Sean McVay really opened the playbook back up with Matthew Stafford, and his receivers, day in and day out, are just raving about the different throws he can make and how he can throw guys open. The no-look passes also have been a huge hit. so this offense has really benefited since his arrival.
Yeah, and one of the big major beneficiaries is Cooper Kupp, a guy who I loved watching him at the Senior Bowl. I fell in love with his game, and it's great to see him elevate to where he is now, the best receiver in football. I mean, what happened there? What has gone on? Because he's suddenly an explosive player as well.
Yeah, he's always been an incredibly solid player for this team. Few could have predicted that he would have been the best so far in the NFL. Every day after practice, you really see him and Matthew Stafford walk off the field. One of them has a tablet in hand. Huh. Or, one of them's kind of mimicking the moves. They're going back over practice plays, figuring out what they could have done better and whatnot. So those two guys have been really on the same page together. Obviously, that shows on the field. Cooper has been able to really create separation. They've been able to get him wide open. I mean, I was looking at the numbers the other day, and I thought, wow, like, in, on one hand, it definitely seems like he's put up those kind of numbers. On the other hand, he's almost made it look easy just because of how open they've been able to get him. So that pair is definitely a winning combination.
Yeah, and then you add in Sean McVay with his excellence as far as play design and play calling, and boom, you have what's going on. Now, I want to ask you about DeSean Jackson and his release. Van Jefferson, he's a Nashville product, so that's someone that we all have our eyes on. How much did he have to do with that release of DeSean Jackson?
You know, it really was completely separate from anything going on with Van Jefferson.
Okay.
DeSean Jackson last week kind of expressed that he wanted to pursue some options where he could be more involved in the team's offense. He really hasn't been as involved, and a lot of that has to do with the fact that the Rams built a program to keep him healthy. DeSean Jackson has not been healthy the last two seasons. This season, as they go into Week 9, he is still healthy, and that has to do with, you know, obviously a decrease in playing time, but that's because part of the plan was to get him to deepen the season out of the playoff run where they could really use him. Obviously, that plan maybe didn't work out how they all envisioned, which really led to DeSean saying, I want to seek other opportunities where I can be more utilized. And the Rams ultimately said, all right. And, you know, once a conversation like that happens, it's a little bit hard for a guy to come back
yeah.
from.
Yeah, absolutely. It's hard to turn around from that. Well, the big story is obviously Von Miller. I know it's fresh. It's really early in the process. But once the trade happened, like, what was your – you know, feedback as far as like the vibe that you were sensing in that locker room, so to speak?
Yeah, I mean, obviously everyone here is incredibly excited, from coaches, position coaches, down to all of the players. They know that you add a guy like Von Miller, one, that speaks volumes to what this ownership group, what this front office is doing. I mean, they're all in. They want to win as much as any of these players do. The defense, especially, these guys know what Von Miller brings. He'll be a heck of a presence off the edge opposite of Leonard Floyd. He's in a defensive front that includes Aaron Donald and a defense that also includes Jalen Ramsey. So everyone here is absolutely buzzing about his arrival.
Yeah, without a doubt. We're talking to Lindsay Theory, ESPN, NFL Nation, Rams reporter. Looking at that defense, though, last year, you know, they were touts with Coach Staley, you know, running it. Now you got a new guy in there, Raheem Morris. Have things changed defensively, or is there just, some problems with scheme? Like, what do you think is behind just the drop that they've had as far as ranking?
Yeah, well, one, I mean, it's a new defensive coordinator, so they're running, by and large, the same system, the same scheme, but there are some tweaks to it.
Okay.
You know, the Rams also did lose several of their starters from this last season. I mean, they lost a Michael Brockers, who was a former first-round guy, who played with Aaron Donald, I believe, for 7 years. So those guys had a great chemistry up front. They lost John Johnson on the back end. So they did lose some key players. I think that's really kind of where you maybe seen them take a step back up front. Maybe you've seen some growing pains, but you definitely have seen some growing pains in the secondary as they've tried to kind of, one, replace Darius Williams, who's been on injured reserve, and two, figure out how to replace Troy Hill. So there's some definite places of concern, positions of concern, as they've tried to grow this season. But it's been a steady improvement for Raheem Morris's group.
And one last thing, Jalen Ramsey, he's another Nashville product. As far as what he's done in your time covering him, what is it, in your opinion, that makes him such a good, not good, and a great cornerback?
You know, I just think it's his absolute desire to play football. I know that sounds so basic, but when you ask him some of these questions, you know, he's a cornerback who wants to be involved. He wants to tackle. He wants to be physical. And that's just not something you see all the time.
Yeah.
You know, he has a great want to not only play with the best, but to be the best. And on top of that, he obviously has all of the physical gifts. So he has really kind of come into his own, I think, as a man, so to speak, here in L.A. He's really kind of whatever perception people had from him in Jacksonville really isn't the player or the person that we've seen in Los Angeles. And he's obviously fit in really well with his defense. He's been a leader for these guys for the last 2+ years now.
How about that? We made it through the interview. I didn't even ask you about Aaron Donald, but, you know, he's all world. I don't think there's really much to be discovered about him. We know that he's the best defensive player in the game. Lindsey, I know you have to run. I really appreciate you coming on. Looking forward to coming out to the left side, and definitely look forward to seeing you on Sunday.
Great. Thanks, guys, so much for having me.
All right. Take care. So that was Lindsey Theory, ESPN, NFL Nation, Rams reporter. She had to run, so we couldn't get as in-depth as we normally do. But, I mean, she's a superstar on ESPN. And I appreciate any little bit of time that she was able to give us. So definitely some good stuff from her. Chris Sanders, as always, you know Run TMC is always lit, is live all the way. Elijah Campbell making this thing happen. Definitely appreciate everybody that has gone into making this podcast, this show, an outstanding one for you, the listeners. Be sure to stay tuned, ESPN.com. Got Whiteboard Wednesday. Took a look at Cooper Kupp and how Matthew Stafford makes that play-action passing game so much more vertical. So make sure you check that out. I got some things coming out about Adrian Peterson this week, so stay tuned for that. And as always, keep listening to us here on 102.5 The Game. You'll hear me all the time, every day except for Saturday and Tuesday. Hey, man. I believe in never stop recording. So that being said, thank you to each of you who have tuned in. God bless and good night.